Shelton. It's Daner and Jay.
Hi, welcome into the latest edition of Hear That Podcast Ground, a special bi-week edition where we want to just kind of sit down and help you get to know some a player on this team that I think is, if you want perspective on what the NFL is like, you would come to Bengals safety Mike Thomas, because you've been around it, you've right. played at the high levels, you've seen the biggest games and some of the lowest games that maybe nobody watched. But you know, you've kind of been around it all, and now you're with the Bengals and kind of found a little home here at the what has this been like for you finding a home in Cincinnati here, you know, because I imagine you were up on the street,
right?
But 13, 14 months ago.
Yeah.
And now you're a captain and you found a real hole here. What's this been like for you?
I mean, it's, to be honest, I think last year, a term that I used that's still fitting is it was refreshing.
Yeah.
It was refreshing to come here, one, because of the type of locker room we had, and I was not expecting that. But that's a testament to Zach, you know, Duke building the team like this, and Zach with the culture, Lou, Darren, BC. It's just a group of guys that's just, you know, they play for one another. They're unselfish, and you don't get that everywhere.
Yeah.
It's not like that in every single locker room. And, you know, it just makes me want to come in every single day and like, dude, how can I serve? How can I help y'all get better, being Uncle Mike and whatnot? But it definitely gives me perspective because, you know, like you said, 13 months ago, almost like a year to this date before I got activated, I thought I was done. You know, I thought I was done playing. I took a job at the NFLPA, was about to start working.
Really?
And even they said, if a team calls, though, we'll be the first to tell you, you still go play. This job will be here waiting for you. You know, and once the Bengals called, Lou gave me the call and was like, dude, if you can still run a little bit, we might sign you to practice squad. I mean, it just gave me a perspective like, hey, man, you know, you can still play. You can still play at a high level. But then even with a team like this and a young team, like, you can have an impact. So, I mean, it's been refreshing to find a home here. Was not looking at, like, oh, let me come and be the leader, team captain. But, you know, when your teammates vote you team captain, it's humbling, man. And I hold that at high regard, because we all want to earn the respect of our teammates and our peers around the league. That's why guys want to make all pros, pro bowls, and stuff like that. Because you want to know that the rest of the league feels like you're a good player. And for my teammates to think that I was a leader in special teams, like, that meant a lot to me.
Yeah. That you mentioned, it was just about a year ago that you were activated. It was right before the Vegas game, right? So you were here, what, week four, week five?
Yeah, whenever we played Green Bay, that was my first week. Was that week five? Week five, yeah. So
they bring you in. I mean, was there any talk of this was the long-term plan, or was it just come in, join the practice squad, see what happens?
Exactly. I think it was that. I think they knew – you know, one, a couple guys had gotten banged up at that time at the safety position. But then two, hey, we need a little bit more veteran presence and, you know, take advantage of this new rule that I'd help negotiate with vets being able to be on a practice squad. You know, like, shoot, man, like, if you can still play, that's awesome. If you can't, at least you'll give us some veteran presence and be able to help these young guys, you know, learn how to play in the NFL. And then, you know, it was like, I guess, God's plan, and you never want guys to get injured, but unfortunately, that's the NFL. That's how most guys do get a chance to play. Somebody else has to go down, unfortunately. But it was just a terrible, but, you know, unfortunate sequence of events when, you know, I think Akeem went down, and Brandon Wilson went down, and then it was just almost the same game. I remember Darren just turning to me on the sideline. I think it was the Browns game. It was like, It's all you the rest of the way, man. We need you. And, you know, and that's how it happened. But, no, that definitely wasn't the long-term plan. There was no conversations with me about that. So I was just like, shoot, however y'all need me to serve, that's cool. A guy that was about to be working with the NFLPA.
I was going to say, did you think when they said come on the practice squad, was that a hard decision of, like, should I? Or am I happy just saying, you know what, football's done for me?
I was definitely happy and mentally ready to transition, but I think definitely it being Lou Anarumo.
Yes.
Yeah. That's why I made that decision. Like, trust me, my agent and me went back and forth about different other possibilities. And I was like, hey, look, I'm good. But the fact that Lou called.
Yeah.
That's what ultimately made me say practice squad is not. Like, yeah, I'll come out here.
I mean, you followed him everywhere at this point. I mean, you really have. You've been everywhere he's been. You've been there. What was it you know, about that relationship. When did it start? What connected you to Lou? Do you have any good Lou stories?
I got some great Lou stories, but the very first day that what connected us was a day where he didn't know my name and, you know, I didn't know his defense, but we needed each other. So I get claimed off practice squad from San Fran, and I get there on like a Wednesday, right? They tell me I got one job. Go vice their best gunner, Matthew Slater. All right, that's fine. I can do that.
Might end up in the Hall of Fame.
Let me stop there and say yes. Matthew Slater probably should be the first special teams player to make the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And hopefully they just create a special team slot so maybe 10 years, 20 years down the line, some other guy might wiggle. Yeah, that's and then, right. Anyway, all right, let's get back to Tommy.
You know, maybe an all-decade.
Yeah, maybe. But so we get to the game. They tell me I got one job. Get to the game. I'm doing that, right? And we're playing the Patriots. In the fourth quarter, hit somehow we're winning. I don't know how, you know what I'm saying, but we're winning the game. And one of the starting DBs get hurt, starting corners, and the special team coach said, hey, we actually need you to go play safety on kickoff. I go down there. I make a tackle. I'm glad because my name's going to be on the stat sheet. You know what I'm saying? I got proof that I actually played an NFL game.
Yeah.
And that same drive, a second starting corner, Brent Grimes, get hurt. So now Lou Anarumo turns to me. He's like, hey, number 31. Yeah, Thomas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you play nickel in college. Okay, yeah, we don't have enough DBs. So you have to play nickel out here. Just turn around, listen to the safety. He'll tell you what to do.
Yeah.
Okay. So get out there, that drive, and Tom Brady sees 31 trotting out there in the slot. He's like, wait, check that. Red 80. Say, hut. And he's picking on me left and right.
Yeah.
I'm holding my own, making plays, making tackles. But, of course, it's the, you know, Tom Brady game-winning drive storyline is about to happen. Gets down to the, what, I think about the 20-yard line, 15-yard line. It's like 15 seconds left. I'm Gordon Amendola in the slot, and it's man-to-man. I look up, and the ball's coming. Amendola has the ball in his hands. We're in the end zone. We're fighting, clawing. We hit the ground. Boom, the ball pops out. I'm juiced. Incomplete. Yeah. My teammates don't know my name. Yeah, 31-31. Go! So incomplete again. So now it's fourth down with maybe like 12 seconds left. Our coach calls timeout. Lou's like, hey, let's call a double-double to give Mike T some help in the slot.
Yeah.
Thank God. You know what I'm saying? At this point, even if we lose, anybody but me. Just don't let it be me. Do not let it be me. So I'm going. I think it's Edelman in the slot now. Instead, Hut. Edelman runs like a little under route. Rashard Jones, our safety, takes him. So I just back up and free. And I see the ball coming at me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, wait. It's like slow motion.
Yeah.
I pick it. Land on the ground. I'm like, wait, did I just catch my first interception?
From Tom Brady.
Against Brady.
That was the game interception. That was against Tom Brady. And, like, yeah. Teammate jumping out, up and down on me. So that was my welcome to Miami, welcome to the NFL moment. And from then on, me and Lou – kind of like that, I was saying, to be honest. Like, so he knew my name after that. I knew his defense, and it's been all good. But literally, ever since I hit free agency, he fought for me to get to New York when I really wasn't getting a couple deals because I was one of those players who was involved with the social justice and taking a knee. Mm-hmm. But he fought for me to get to the Giants. He becomes a defensive coordinator here. I'm thinking I'm done playing. He calls for me to come here. You know what I'm saying? And I've just tried to always deliver for Lou.
Yeah.
You know, he vouched for me to get to the Giants. You know, I ended up earning, you know, a Pro Bowl bid there. He vouched for me to come here. You know, I end up trying to lead the special teams with Darren. But, you know, just as a proof, like, hey, if you stood on the table to try to, like, get me here, I'm going to prove you right. I'm going to prove to everybody that you were right, I was your guy, and that I can deliver and I can perform.
Yeah.
That's a relationship.
Where is that ball? Yeah. Like, is there a picture? Is there a painting above your mantle or something of you laying on the ground with the ball?
I'll say, to be honest, you're asking the right questions. Like, our house is getting remodeled because of that winter storm last year that happened in Texas, but all of that will happen. That's what I'm saying. That ball is safely secure at my house in Houston.
Yeah. Now, you're giving away your game-worn jerseys now. You're giving your high school. That jersey, I assume you kept.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's somewhere. Like,
the gloves. I got the gloves from Mike Wallace. They gave me some terrible, like, generic gloves.
Yeah.
Mike Wallace was the locker next to me. He gave me his gloves. I got everything.
Well, when Tom Brady goes into the hall, you should see if the hall wants your gloves.
I got them once, though. I think they're definitely appreciating in value as the years go on.
The Pro Bowl you went to, was, I mean, how special? Because I know a lot of the guys kind of look at the Pro Bowl as what it is. It was still in Hawaii then, right?
It was in Orlando. Yeah, it was in Orlando, which I didn't mind. My daughter got to go to Disney World and it was your Orlando studio. So, but nah, to me, it was very special again, because for 5 years I had to deal with the other guy we talked about that's probably going to go in Hall of Fame as a special teams player. I could never get the nod over him. Yeah. So I was always knocking first alternate, second alternate, or something like that. So to finally get my first Pro Bowl in New York with the Giants, I mean, it meant a lot to me. And even with that, I was the first alternate. The Rams had to go to the Pro Bowl. I mean, to the Super Bowl for me to go. And I tell Von, I joke with Von all the time, like, dude, I'm sorry. That was pass interference. I know that was pass interference,
but look, it was Matt.
That's a great no call. That's a great no call. I love it.
Your story before you got to the NFL is interesting, though. You know, you're in Houston and you go to Stanford, which was a familiar path. And I was like, well, that's Andrew Luck's path.
Right.
You guys probably played against – did you play against each other in high school, too?
We were in the same division.
Same division.
In high school,
So you and Andrew probably – did you remain – did you both go to Stanford? You both going to the league similar time? Did you have a good
relationship? Oh, yeah. We talk like almost every other week, man. He still calls me.
Really?
Yeah, he's at Stanford. He's in school right now. Like, nah, but that's my, like, we're brothers, man. Like, to see him in high school, I mean, we competed in all the sports, but to see him in football, I was like, okay, that kid's going to be good.
Yeah.
And then he's like, he committed to Stanford. And it was funny how they even started recruiting me. They were recruiting a defensive teammate of his, and I played quarterback in high school. And that's the only reason they even saw my film, is they were recruiting one of his teammates on defense.
Yeah.
They're like, who is this kid? All right, if he got the grades, let's go offer him. So that's long story short, once they did that, as soon as I got in, my dad actually made the decision for me. He was like, yep, your recruiting's over with. That's where you're going.
As far as a great school and everything else. I mean,
it was a great decision.
So did Harbaugh ever actually, like, did he come up to see you?
Oh, yeah.
Talk to him?
Oh, yeah.
What is it like to be recruited by Jim Harbaugh?
I'll tell everybody this. As I smile, I mean, that's my guy. I'm a Harbaugh guy.
Okay.
And either you're a Harbaugh guy or you're not. There's no in between.
Yeah,
there's no in between. I'll keep it there. But one, he's one of the best recruiters I've ever seen. Like, honestly, like, being in touch with what's going on socially, I was saying, like, and his energy and just being able to get guys to buy in when they're getting recruited.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's a level I've never seen. I've never seen, man. It's contagious. So I was going to go to Stanford anyway, but like because of the school, but because of him, it made it, like, it was a no-brainer as soon as I got in.
I do feel like high school kids respond to crazy people well. Like, it's like something about it. You just love it. Like, you're kind of, you feel kind of crazy in high school, and then you're like, this guy's kind of insane, and I kind of like it.
If you were wrong, I'd tell you were wrong. But I would just say I was a Harbaugh guy, and I was like,
that's unbelievable. And you were with, and then Richard Sherman was there.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So he was my host. And so that was another thing, too. Once I started getting recruited and they had him host me, it was like, oh, they got some guys that's like, you know, look like me. And, you know, like I can relate to. And we're actually pretty good. Like, we had some talent, man. And it was a fun experience. It was a life-changing experience. I'm so glad I made that decision to go there, man. Like we are, I mean, brothers. Like, Richard Sherman, he plays me. We're the same Freddie as well. Like, I mean... Yeah. Brothers for life.
I hope you're reminding him that you're outlasting him as he came to Stanford. He's over there at the booth on the Thursday night game, and there you are out there on the field.
Yeah, I
assume that was a reminder.
We definitely joke about it, but I think he's doing well. He'll be all right. Yeah. He'll be all right.
All right, let's take a second and switch gears here and hear from a sponsor.
A lot of comparisons between Andrew and Joe Burrow.
Oh, yeah.
What have you seen from the way Joe is and compared to Andrew? And how much does that a quarterback's presence, his leadership, translate to the defensive side? And did you ever pick off Andrew Luck in high school?
So I played quarterback. So I wish I would have played. I played quarterback. Yeah, I was on the offensive side. So I didn't get a chance to pick him up in high school in the game. But, no, I mean, the comparison is the confidence he gives everybody in that locker room. With Luck, we knew we always had a chance. Even if the offense was struggling for whatever reason, we knew we had a chance. You know, like, and if you're able to go out there and play fast and free on the defensive side, same thing with a guy like Joe Burrow. You're just like, dude, we're going to have a shot. Like, and his confidence, his demeanor, that itself. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, I got to be on because I know this guy's going to be on. I can't let him down. So I got to do my job. You know, like, and I know we're going to have a chance to win. Like, that's, it's not like that everywhere.
Yeah.
If you don't have, I'm sorry. Unlike college, and maybe I'm a little overconfident when I say this. In college, I feel like there was times our Stanford defense won our games, especially my junior year. But if you didn't have a quarterback in college, it's tough too. In the NFL, for sure. And because I lived it, if you do not have a quarterback, you are not going to win.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that I'm, you know, in year 11 that I got a chance to play on a team that has a quarterback, especially in Joe Burrow.
Yeah. You come in and you're, like you said, your first game, you just are happy to be on the stat sheet, right, and hopefully you'll be in the stat sheet. And then here you were in year 11 in the Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, I mean, do you ever, it's because you've had time now and you started to think about life after football, mm-hmm, had a chance to reflect on how crazy the NFL journey can be? And what are, like, the lessons that you give to guys that are about to go through their journey? What, you know, when you're trying to talk to them about what to expect in the NFL? Because it's such a unique thing. There's just nothing like
it. I tell young dudes all the time, like, you have to prepare. And I get a unique, I guess, lens because with special teams, I actually get a chance to do probably a little bit more scout team, because I choose to at this point. I don't have to. But, yeah, on scout team. So, even last year, I'm going against a rookie, Jamar Chase. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going against a young T. Higgins. You know, and I get to go against those guys on the offensive side. But even this year, when you got a young Daxton Hill, Tyson Anderson, who's, you know, still trying to come up, even a Brandon Wilson who's coming off injury, you know, a young guy like Alan George, Cam, Taylor Britt, it's like I get the chance to talk to them and let them know, like, hey, dude, the opportunity is coming. You never know when it's going to come. But you got to prepare as if you're the starter.
Yeah.
And then sure enough, you know, like, don't believe me. You know what I'm saying?
And then it happens.
And boom, then it happened. But it was like, dang, OG, Uncle Mike, you tell. I'm like, I don't have to read this in a book. You know what I'm saying? I have to read this book. I've lived this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it happens every year. That's this league. And the more it's happening to them, they're starting to believe. You know, so I get a chance to just talk to them every single day and pour into them in that way, but also get a chance to work with them. Like, hey, look, I'm just not telling you, this is how you prepare. Let's walk through this before the walkthrough. Let's walk through this before practice.
Sure.
So you can get ahead. That's how you start becoming that young player that they can trust and lean on. Like, oh, I don't have to talk to him 2-3 times. I don't have to tell him what to do. He already knows. Like, that's how you start picking stuff up faster. And if that's the role at this point in my career that I can play, I love it.
Yeah.
Why scouting? Why do you choose to do that?
Because I learned a long time ago, especially as a guy that was on practice squad at first, and then a guy where nobody knew my name, but I had to go play. With scout team, if I'm not the starter, that's where I can get my reps. As a, you know what I'm saying? I could be Uncle Mike and stand on the sideline. Hey, young dude, you go do the scout team safety. You go be the scout team nigga. Like, no, that's my reps. So that way when I get in the game, not only have I been doing safety, I've been doing nickel, I've been doing it against Jamar Chase.
Right. Yeah, right.
I've been doing it against Hayden Hurst. I've been doing it against T. Higgins. I've been doing it against TB.
Right, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I've been taking angles out of the post against Joe Mixon. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not getting BS reps.
You're right.
I'm going against ones.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys don't think about it like that, but I do.
Yeah.
I know and I understand that. Like, my rookie year, I went against Vernon Davis when he was on top of his game. I went against Crabtree when he was on top of his game. Had to take angles out of the post with Frank Gore breaking through the. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I was prepared when Miami called me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
difference. Right? I mean, it makes a difference. Making a difference for you to even be a guy who could potentially ever make the play that you made that now has Lou Anarumo taking you everywhere he goes. Yeah.
It all works together.
One thing you did off the field was you went back to Miami and got your master's.
Yep.
That's a program we've seen some people take advantage of. And when did that become important to you? I'm sure it always was, but why was that such a big deal? And what was that process like for you? Was that hard to do?
Yeah, it was hard to do. I'll start there for a couple of reasons. One, me and my wife had our first child, my daughter. She was a newborn when I first decided to do it, but I had tore my pec, so I had some extra time on my hand, right, being on IR. But that program was available. It had just become available for, artists and athletes at the University of Miami. And I'm in Miami. It's in our backyard.
Yeah.
And they were only going to ask us to be in class, honestly, during the off season. You're going to be extensive. We were in class like all day, like every day, but during the off season. So I just made that decision because at Stanford, there were no business classes for undergrads. Like there were just no business like courses, no business classes.
Really?
So I didn't really get a business background. So get a chance to get to the NFL, accumulating a lot of stuff. That's not conversations I had growing up with my family. It was like, no. I saw the 30 for 30 broke. I don't want to be on. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be a part of that.
Yeah, right.
Let me at least learn something about business. I had really no expectations for what I was going to do going into business school, but I said, look, at least I know this will help. This will help me prepare, you know what I'm saying, for something to deal with my business side of what I'm accumulating. And it actually, it helped me learn like real estate. That's what I'm dabbling in probably the most outside of football. It helped me prepare for life after football, especially when I took on a role in our executive committee with the NFLPA, kind of getting that job because I can be at a higher level because of my business background and being able to have those conversations and negotiations. So it definitely helped prepare me for life after football.
Yeah. Why does the PA fit you? Why is that? Why have you attached to them? Is it just, is there something about the what they do or something about helping players, just the locker room?
Right.
I mean, it seems like that's a fit for you.
Yeah, I think all that does play into it. But the fact that I'm always just naturally trying to serve our guys.
Yeah.
And now I can do it from a business standpoint, you know, like learning our business and learning about our business and how to take care of our guys, both the retired guys, the present guys, and the guys that's about to come up 10 years from now. You know what I'm saying? Like, and just having that, playing that role and having that responsibility, that's just something, I guess, naturally from just the person who I am.
Yeah.
It just fits.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot. I mean, you guys were all center of the conversation a couple of years ago, and what was that? How inside of that were you? Yeah, I assume a lot. I mean, what was that stress level like compared to football?
Right.
Because you feel like you have the pressure of everyone on you to not screw it up and not them come out and say, "Oh, the owner's got them."
Exactly.
Right, and that's you're up against people that this is what they do,
and their family have been doing it for
years.
You know what I'm saying? 50 some years.
What was the relationship like? Players and owners as that went on, and how did it evolve?
I think it was a special experience and a lifetime experience that, like, for me, I'm grateful for, because going up, sitting across from Jerry Jones this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
what is that like?
I can't even put it in perspective. You know, I really can't put it in words from the things you hear.
Yeah.
But what the dynamic was, they needed us, and they came to us early, right? Mm-hmm. And to have that experience, to negotiate knowing, I guess, billions of dollars, knowing that the livelihoods of a lot of people depending on how we did. And clearly you don't want to screw it up because you don't want nobody coming up saying, like, look what y'all did. You know what I'm saying? They got us. Like, no.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I have a responsibility to make sure that not just for this year, but for years to come, that we're all in a position to be able to continue to play, continue to take care of the families, continue to grow, and be in a position for 10 years when we negotiate again, that we don't lose a lot of what we've already gained. You know, that was a huge responsibility. But what I say is, sitting across from the Jerry Jones and the Robert Kraft, it gave me a high level of confidence.
Yeah.
In moving forward with anything else I can do in life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It doesn't get much harder than that.
No, it doesn't. And to have them not look at you, clearly it's ownership versus players. But when you're negotiating, especially when they're negotiating for something that they actually need, and they start looking at you, not necessarily as a peer, but somebody else. No, like, you're not safety. You're Michael. You know what I'm saying? And it's not Mr. Jones. It's not Mr. It's Jerry.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's a different dynamic.
Yeah.
It gives you a different confidence for moving forward with whatever you want to do for the rest of your life.
Sure.
Were you in that position because you were your team's player rep in all 32? Or was that, did you?
Executive committee.
The executive committee.
For instance, 11 of us.
Have you ever been a player rep?
I've been voted player rep. I bequeathed it. I gave it to others.
Yeah.
no one man should have all that power. Not everybody did that. Looking back on it, I probably should have kept my vote. I was like, because you have more power as a rep. You get to vote. I didn't get a chance to vote. I'm the only vote on the EC, and I negotiate. The reps actually get the power.
So the executive committee is what you were talking about when you got negotiating expanded practice squads.
Yeah. So we negotiate, but we get our direction from the 32. We take that. We do the negotiations. Mm-hmm. We get the deal framework. 32. This is our recommendation. Mm. It played out how it played out.
Yeah.
Y'all vote.
Yeah. That's, I mean, that was a hard thing for you guys, because I remember so much about that was the conversation about star players versus, you know, the foundational players, the 3 years and out players, guys. Yeah. And like, how do you balance that? Because the stars are going to get theirs, right? Should it be, how tough was that in the room? Because there's stars on, there's, you know, that have very big voices.
Right.
And I don't know how hard that was for you guys.
No, it's you got to balance it, right?
Yeah.
Because the core makes up the majority. But if you don't have those stars, the league knows.
Yeah.
Okay. You can get more of the core.
Yeah.
Go grab them from all over the place.
Yeah.
as long as we got these stars, we're fine. You know what I'm saying? So it's having a balance. And I love the fact that our membership, we had enough star players in our membership, which the majority of our star players, they understood that too. And they knew that we needed to do more for our core.
Yeah.
However, there were some things that we got to make sure we take care of for the stars too. So you know what I'm saying? It's just balance. But I love the fact of where our membership was. For the most part, regardless of what came out, it was very unselfish. It was very like, hey, how can we make this better as a whole? And to be honest, it wasn't perfect, but this deal actually ended up being a good deal.
Yeah. What is the first thing that you would want to have be progress for players in the NFL? What is the next big thing that you think is important that players have the chance to do going forward, or rights, or whatever it is? What is the next thing for you?
Continue to build leverage so that we understand, like, hey, if we want, let's say, more guarantees in contracts or fully guaranteed contracts, right, it's going to take us coming together as a collective and not being satisfied with, the most guarantees for a quarterback, the most guarantees for a DB. You know what I'm saying? Because that's fluff. It's like, no, like, it would take us just understanding that, like, hey, let's continue to come together. Let's continue to build and just understand that it's going to take all of us to get those guarantees.
Yeah. 18 games, just a crazy thing to say to you. Like, is that, I mean, for someone who goes through the pounding, I mean, was that just the ultimate non-starter? Or was there, because you could have gotten stuff. You could get in stuff, but giving up the 18. I mean, I imagine that was probably a tough one.
It's very tough. It's very tough. However, we gave up some stuff. There were some things that the NFL wanted. I'm just talking to generalities at this point. And ultimately, that's where we landed.
Yeah. Those are tough conversations, right?
Very tough conversations.
I don't know. But it's safety of the player and the wear and tear is just – it's a hard thing. You probably feel like, I imagine, like that's what you are fighting for, is trying to keep everybody healthy and taken care of as much as possible.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be venting at this point if I could talk about this. We gave up some things.
Yeah.
But I think ultimately we signed a good deal. But the health and safety of players should always be at the forefront.
Yeah. And I mean, there's now momentum building for the turf fields.
Right.
Is that a realistic goal? And I mean, you see Cheeto gets hurt on grass field. It can happen anywhere. But
I think that needs to be parity, and it needs to be a level, like a base level of, hey, this is the field that everyone needs to have. This grade, this level, if we decide it's this specific grass that everybody has to have in their stadium, do it. Or if we say it's some type of synthetic turf blend or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But that's the feel that everybody has to have, so it's consistent throughout the league.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're coming to that point now. That, I think, it don't take, you know what I'm saying? I don't think that's a huge ask for all of us to galvanize and use our collective voice to come behind. And I don't think ownership's, you know, because they don't want to lose star players either. You know, they don't want to lose any of the players. They don't want guys missing time because of That if that's something that we can agree upon, then I think that's a conversation we need to have, and it needs to be made a priority.
All right, let's just take a quick break.
What did you learn from the social justice stuff and taking a knee and being part of that? What did you learn about, you know, progress and America? I mean, it was, you guys became like that's a cross section of what it is to be American and race relations. And I'm to be such a central part of that. What was that? What was the lessons?
It was like, I don't know. We got enough time today for me to talk about that.
Your flight?
Wow. I mean, I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about other people.
Did you ever consider not doing it?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I had to pray about it. That's something I talked about. But ultimately, you know, speaking to my wife, and she's so strong, and you know, she gave me the strength to make that decision. You know, and you know, think about my family, my kids, our future. Because you know, to make a decision like that, you know, you're risking something, and I did. But ultimately, what came out of it was something greater, something that I wouldn't. You know, if I could go back, I wouldn't change the decisions I made. But you know, I learned some hard lessons. I also saw the strength of what, you know, standing up for something that you believe in, standing up for what you believe is right, you know, something that's bigger than yourself, you know, what that can do and the type of movement it can make. And, you know, not just for myself, not just for my community, but for, like you said, for America. And I think those actions helped probably fast forward some conversations, even decades from where we were, starting even in 2016, even before that. But I think it pushed forward some, it pressed fast forward on some conversations, some movement. Did a lot of things get changed that, you know, we wanted to see get changed? Not a lot, but there were movement, and there is movement. And I think just because of that, then it was worth it.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of, at least the NFL started pouring more money into and focusing on that and talking about it. And
conversations changed.
The conversations in the locker room, that was what I was going to ask you about, was that I remember, you know, when it came out, Joe Burrow was a rookie here.
Yeah.
And he ended up being the one as a rookie to give the speech in front of the Freedom Center.
Exactly.
And everybody talked about, it was the conversations that everyone was able to have in these locker rooms was really helpful. And more than necessarily the programs, which everybody supports.
Exactly.
But like those things seem to be what's really helped, is that keeping in the conversation, keeping everybody thinking about it was a big part of the progress.
Oh,
I guess
absolutely.
You probably view it that way.
Dude, I just from 2016, my locker room, the conversation in the locker room I had in 2016 to 2017 was night and day.
Really? What made it so different?
I think everybody seeing like, oh, this isn't just a bunch of guys doing something for a publicity stunt. Oh, no. Okay. It's a year going into it and y'all have actually opened some eyes and y'all are really doing work. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I might not agree with that, you know, stance you're taking, but I hear you.
Yeah.
Talk to me. Like, how can I? You know what I'm saying? And to be honest, like that was a huge lift. And then once it happened, you know, continued to, you know, like make progress and conversations continued to change, you start getting kids coming out of college, or you start seeing college kids, high school kids, and they're having these conversations. They're able to come into a locker room and be like, no, not only do I want to have this conversation, I want to lead it. And it's like, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
2, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, that wasn't happening.
It's progress.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so
it makes it feel worth it for you, the risk that you took, I guess, probably, right?
Yeah. So, no, definitely. Like, if I could go back in time, I'd do the same thing again. And I honestly think moving forward for the future, it has put me in position because people know, like, okay, like, no, you stood for something.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, might not have been what everybody would have done, you know, wanted to do at that time. And to be honest, I didn't even think, you know, with taking a knee, like, would that have been the route I, like, would have thought of to tell, you know, plan to take on my own, but it just trying to be in solidarity with, you know, with my brothers out there. Like, I think it was a strong stance, and again, I wouldn't change it. Yeah. I wouldn't change.
You guys on this team have, like you said earlier, something that's kind of a special chemistry.
Yeah,
I mean, How much cards can a man play? Like, I appreciate that the card table that goes on. I mean, what is there a minimum buy-in?
Like, there's definitely a minimum.
But some people know that, like, that's just not my game. I can't hang with these guys.
I mean some guys need to know. Maybe not cards, but maybe the ping pong table and shooting basketball. Some guys need to, like, they need to come to Jesus moment, right? Yeah. The anonymous hotline. I might need to get that number and call them some of those guys. But anyway, no, with cards, man, it's fun, man. It's thrilling. It helps the time pass. And you get those group of guys. You help actually build bonds and become closer, man, because we're playing every day. Yeah. We're playing on the road. Like, honestly, I'm glad that Zach supported that and got that table.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny? We always joke about how, like, you know, you always hear these stories about how, okay, if a team had a ping pong table and then the coach had it taken away, it was because they needed more discipline, right? But if they need to be looser, they added a ping pong table. They're loose now. Right. I just feel like in today's NFL, there's so many more coaches now that appreciate wanting people to be in the locker room, right? Is that a big difference? Have you noticed there's a big difference from now to when you were, you know, San Francisco, Miami in the early years? The NFL feels different that way?
No, absolutely. Like, it's a totally different environment. I mean, the game's changed, the environment's changed, the conversations have changed, like everything. Like, it's a way more loose environment versus probably back in the day when it was a whole lot more strict and business and
football, disciplinarian, like, was kind of who everybody
family
was.
Football, it's and very it's, different.
And I assume you don't mind. I mean, you know, that's a nice change that you're welcoming.
Oh, absolutely.
This should be the future almost.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, like, do you want to run a, you know what I'm saying, run, not a tight ship, but do you want, like, a well-oiled machine? Absolutely. Let's go execute when we're out there. But at the same time, it shouldn't feel like.
Do you feel like that atmosphere helped you guys win last year?
You said
that atmosphere, do you feel like that helped you guys win last
year? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, man. And I mean, because guys still played cards. Guys still did that last year. And I think it was loose. I think having a culture where everybody, like, played for one another and wanted to be around one another, I think it definitely helped. And when times get rough and times get hard, you need to lean on each other. So, I mean, I think that this, the ping pong tables and the cards, is only going to help each other. And we know when to dial it back.
How has this year been different than last year for you? Is it, I mean, because last year was, I mean, for you, coming in midstream, whatever, but has this year felt different, whether it be expectations, whether it be new people?
You know that. Yeah. Like, the dynamic changes, especially when it comes to expectations. Expectations breeds, you know, like certain, our success brings expectations, and, you know, are you living up to that? Do you feel pressure, more pressure? Oh, it's new guys. Like, who's going to be here for the future? You know what I'm saying? Like, what does the future hold? And I think we're at a point right now, especially dealing with some of the adversity with injuries added to it as well. I think we're at the point where guys are starting to feel a little bit more free. Like, okay, we were holding on to that at the beginning. We were letting that weigh in on us. But now it's like, man, let's cut it loose.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Like, let's just go out here and play. I think we're starting to reach that point.
Maybe that's part of the Super Bowl hangover that people talk about. That no one ever thinks you have one. But just because expectations and having been in that game does make people channel different parts of, like, how they approach every week, even though you don't think it's changing anything. It's just, it does change the dynamic of what obviously had to have been good chemistry from the year before, when it's just, when there's so much more of a spotlight on
it. Oh, yeah, no, definitely. I mean, and when you can acknowledge that, and I think more guys have acknowledged it now and are open to even saying it.
Y'all really?
I think now we're at that point where it's like,
let's go.
Let's go.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't worry.
Yeah.
Let's go. And you need that. When you had a chip on your shoulder before, nobody, you know what I'm saying? Nobody gave us a chance. They doubted us. They counted us out to, oh, hey, shoot, how many primetime games we got? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like it's a difference. So now it's like, boom, let's turn that switch back on. And, oh, didn't we just lose a primetime game? They just took us, you know, they flexed us out.
Yep. Yeah. Disrespect card is back, that stuff. Yeah.
That's good. Right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so I think we're in a great spot.
Back to the card game. What is the game of choice over there, and what is the deal with the ketchup bottle?
The ketchup bottle needs to go first off. Like, it needs to go. It should not be on our table. Like,
why is it that?
I have no idea. This disrespect. It is disrespect. So I got those little food trays now. So that, that you know, like we got some bins.
I saw the tray tables showed up. Yeah. I was wondering what that was.
Yeah, you, so stop eating on that table. You can do that. There's cup holders.
It's a nice table. Who purchased the table?
Zach, I believe. I believe Zach did. We were going to have our rookies do it, but Zach got us a nice one. So that's fine. So yeah, so the ketchup bottle needs to go. Whoever said that. And then the game of choices are Tonk, T-O-N-K, I believe is how you spell it, Tonk, and Bure. Yeah. Bure is a very popular, widespread game. And for sure in sports leagues, I never heard of it until I got to the NFL. Actually, I had never heard it until I got to Miami. But it is very popular. Yeah. It's thrilling. It's the thrill of that game.
Yes, because the jackpots build in a hurry.
Oh, yes, they do, my good sir. Yes, they do.
Highs and lows. You know, so you have this orange sports car.
No.
That is quite a ride.
That is not mine. That is
whose car is that?
That is BJ Hill's.
That is BJ Hill's.
Do you have him in your spot?
Because I don't drive. Like, people don't know. Like, I stay so close to here, man. I walk. I stay downtown. So I told BJ, until my family gets out here in December and I get my car.
You can have my spot.
You can park in my spot. But if they ever come to visit or something, I'm going to use it. Everybody I'm talking about, from Duke, all the scouts, all the staff, coaches, players, they're like, Mighty, you got it? I'm like, no, I can't fit car seats in there. What am I going to do with that? Like,
how does BJ fit himself?
Oh, dude, have not seen him get in or get out yet. I told him I just want a picture in it. You know what I'm saying? If you're using my spot, if I can just take a picture standing next to that car, it's fun.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, it doesn't really match your personality. No. I was surprised that.
I mean, guys are like, Mike T, that's your car. Yeah, you're trying to go to the Pro Bowl again, right?
I just want to go fast. That's it. I just want to go fast. You said you've started thinking about jobs after football. Yeah. You've got all this stuff lined up. How long do you want to keep? Now that you found a home here, right, you've got like this good thing going. I mean, do you think about how long you want to keep doing it, or just as long as you can? Or
last year, I was like, okay, I was done mentally. I was prepared to be done. But once you get that little taste again, I'm like, you know what? Body feels good. if Darren want to keep me around, we can deal with each other's personality. If you want to keep me around, man, I'll play as long as I can.
Yeah. Well, I know Bengals fans and most of the people in the front offices and locker room hope that that's the case and can keep you around. It's been fun having you around. This has been a great conversation.
No,
it's been really great.
It's great to catch up with you and get to know somebody who's seen it all. And then you write the book afterwards.
Oh, yes.
All the things you're not going to talk about when you're still in.
Absolutely. Oh, it's coming. That book is coming, baby.
We wait for the book. Mike T, Uncle Mike.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate your time. All right.